This episode of Ear Buddies is brought to you by the Pentagon, which assures all Americans and all citizens of Earth that there is no evidence that the government covered up any knowledge of extraterrestrial activity or technology on our planet. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. It's the Pentagon. Francis Scott Key, but you can call me Frank.
And I'm John Stafford Smith.
And this is Ear Buddies. Oh, say, Matt. Can you see by the pod's early light? Well, did you see by the pod's early light this hilarious clip of Kinsley Murray singing the national anthem? Let's start there, Matt. Has everyone seen this?
Oh, and how, buddy?
Can you see by the dawn's early light?
What a riotous day it was when this arrived on the social media feeds. As young Kinsley Murray, 8 years old, performed the Star Spangled Banner pregame as the Indiana Pacers were taking on the Toronto Raptors. NBA stuff. Oh, Matt, it was everywhere.
It's such a delight, isn't it, when we can all experience the same
thing. A little bit of
thing.
Monoculture?
Yes, in real time. It doesn't happen too often, but that,
yeah,
man, what a gift.
Kinsley was a viral sensation, I think it's safe to say. And she joins some hallowed ranks, right, of folks singing the national anthem, singing our nation's anthem, Matt, the United States of America. I mean, you know, your Beyoncé's, your Fergie's, your Whitney Houston's, your Luther Vandross's.
Your Jack Blacks, your Chris Stapletons.
We have been treated as Americans to so many renditions of this tune, good or bad, right, by conventional standards.
Sure.
You hear it all over the place. Of course you do. It's our nation's anthem. Why wouldn't you? But Matt.
Tim.
We've never heard it on Ear Buddies, have we?
That
doesn't seem right. Wait a minute, check the tapes. Is that true? We've never played? I don't think we have.
I think it's true, but it doesn't seem right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It's true, but not right.
Today, we right the wrong that we have discovered. It's never too late, gang, to fix a problem. Which actually is the point of this episode, pal. It's never too late to fix a problem.
I'm intrigued.
So let's talk about the Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, say can you see?
This tune that we all love, that became the nation's anthem in 1931. Do we want to talk history? Do we want to just dive right into the notes on the page?
Okay, look, I'll do a one sentence history. We
please.
All know this. We all know what happened. Francis Scott Key is a man who is famous for doing one thing and one thing only, and that is writing the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner as he watched the bombing of Fort McHenry.
Good job.
And that is, we all know that. That's the situation. And let me just say that the tune was written by one John Stafford Smith, who was, in fact, a British man.
What?
So what's Hang going on there? A little bit of cognitive dissonance. But maybe it was like a retaking of the... They were sticking it to King George all over the place. So hard to say. Anyway, that's the deal. That's it. That's our anthem.
banner yet and wave.
Thank you. And to your point, Matt, everyone knows this. You know it because it's right there in the dang lyrics. It was a very, I mean, you know, the defense of Fort McHenry, the poem that he wrote there in 1814, amid the War of 1812. This guy was just, I mean, he was talking about what he saw. Can you see?
Well, and
oh, what, say, can you see?
What I love about it, Tim.
I'm going to take this line by line, but yeah, you go.
Well, no, what I love about it is that the first half of the verse is just a question that we have to say no to. We cannot see it. But thank you for asking. We forget that the whole thing is simply an interrogative sentence.
Yes, right. It's a big sentence.
Okay, but I'm sorry for jumping ahead. I just wanted to make sure we all know that there's a question mark in there. Yeah. But continue.
And why don't we just set this boundary on the episode, Matt? We're only going to talk about verse one.
Yes, please.
Is that fine?
Yes, that is absolutely fine. Okay.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, comma, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, question mark, he says.
Right.
Hey, did you see this thing that I'm describing in great detail?
Yes.
In the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night his flag was still there, period. Oh, say, hey, does that star-spangled banner yet wave where the land of the free and the home of the brave? Big question there.
Big
at the
question
end.
Mark. Does Huge. It yet wave? Does it yet wave?
Hey, everybody, it's 2024. Does that flag still wave? Francis was asking way back then. It's a big question. We answer it, I mean, by singing it, I guess we answer yes. So,
yes. As long as we're singing it, the answer is yes.
Matt, listen, you're the lyrics guy on the pod. What do you think about this?
Well, Tim, I'm not going to...
This is... And I'm sorry for asking a question and then just interrupting you like this, but...
I was ready.
Buddy, this is kind of the crux of the episode, right? Like, we're talking about the Star-Spangled Banner. Lyrics by Francis Scott Key. Mm-hmm. And here they are. You just heard me mumble them. And this is it. This is our nation's anthem. And I'm asking you, Matt, what do you think?
Look, no marks against Frank for writing like he was in 1812 because it's archaic, but so it goes.
Yeah.
I think like it's interesting to me because it isn't saying in that first verse, because again we're only discussing the first verse. There are more, but in that first verse. There's what is being said, right? And the only thing that's being asked is that flag still waving?
And I suppose, you know, right, sure, Frank was talking about the War of 1812, but here we are, you know, now asking it more broadly, more philosophically. But Matt, let me do you one better, actually. I don't think anyone's asking that at all. I don't think anyone likes these words.
Buddy, I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to be the first one to say it.
No, let's... Okay, I think we're good and loosened up. Let's rip the Band-Aid a little bit. What's going on with this tune?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light.
Is this a bad tune? Do we have a lousy national anthem? And I want to be clear, I'm separating the art from the artist here. Love America. Love this country. Beautiful. Beautiful place. Great things going on.
Great things going on. No complaints.
No notes. Sure. Nothing to say about it except solid. But let's pull the tune out here, right? Let's talk about our nation's anthem. And ask, does it still serve us as a nation in 2024? Mm. Right?
That's the question. You're right.
Because it should. That's what it's here for. It's here to pump us up. It's here to give us a little rah-rah-rah energy before a sporting event or some sort of major political or patriotic thing. This is our identity in song. But is it?
Oh, man, we are already falling into the philosophical deep end, but you I'm there with you, buddy. No, I'm there with you. Always.
I mean, Matt, we haven't even talked about the tune itself. You know, John Stafford Smith. What do you think about that?
Yeah, man. Okay. I think that this is a tune that is memorable only because how could you not, right? Like, if this is not an earworm and would not be an earworm if it were being, if you just heard it at the grocery store one time. It is famously, Tim, and I know you know this, but we got to help everybody out here. Yeah. It is famously a very difficult tune to sing. It has a range of 19 semitones.
Humming a. Right. I've sung it, Matt, and you know the advice that your choir teacher gives you before you sing it?
Go as low as you can on say.
Start low. Start low, because you're going to wind up going real high.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's right. And so, look, I mean, I think that it is, the tune is stately and rambly. Yes. And to be honest, if we can divorce ourselves from our prejudices and history, which I know we can't, it does sound... It does sound like a British society song. So that's my take. It's not terrible. It's not terrible. I'm not gonna swing too hard here. But I don't think if we believe, Tim, and I know of course we do, that America is the greatest nation on earth.
Uh-huh.
Should it not be reflected in the national anthem? That should be the greatest tune.
It should be the greatest tune on earth,
yes.
Right? We built the Model T Ford. Can we not cook up a great national anthem? And look, 1931, right, when it was adopted. I wasn't there. I don't know. I wasn't in the room when they decided, but were there no other... Like, was this the best we could do?
Well, Tim, it was, I mean, yeah, this was codified into, like, law, American national law, so they must have discussed it, right?
I'm sure there was a little bit of debate on the floor, I would hope.
And was there were there no other comers, basically? Like, this is what we got, this is what we're going to do?
We have a lot of patriotic music in this country. I mean, heck, we have My Country, 'Tis of Thee, which we really stole from the British.
Mm. And how?
My country, 'tis of thee.
But that's a better tune, right?
I mean, it is.
It's a better tune. You know, we've got America the Beautiful. That's a good tune.
That's good, yeah.
That's a good tune. I just am not, I'm not convinced, okay, you and I are not going to, we're not going to sponsor a bill that's going to get passed into law. We're not going to change the national anthem.
No, certainly not.
Two buddies, we can't do that. But, clearly from this discussion, you and I are left wanting a bit. We want something more out of this tune. Maybe we should talk about, you know, if we ran the zoo, what would the buddies do? With the Star Spangled Banner, with the national anthem.
I like this, Tim. This may be the ticket. Here's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go into the lab a little bit.
Yep, goggles on, everybody.
We need to cut this frog open, and we need to figure out what's making it tick and what is making it not tick. Mm-hmm. Here's the first problem.
Yep.
Too slow.
Ooh.
Oh, say...
We always sing it so slow, like a prayer, like a hymn.
Like a hymn, yes.
Speed that thing up. Let's get it under 90 seconds.
Oh, buddy.
Because some people, like, go, hard as it could be to believe, like, over 90 seconds. Their syllables are just so long. There's no need.
No. Well, it's, right, it's a long tune. You've got, it's A-A-B-A form. I mean, we have to, we're bouncing all over the place. And you're right, it is, we tend to take it a little, it's a bit plodding. So I think, hey, that's a great idea, buddy. Let's take the tempo up a bit.
Thanks. Yeah, I think just and how it's a little more invigorating too. I mean, you want you're not going to play a funeral march at a yeah, yeah. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah,
get in front of yeah, man.
Let it rip, guys.
I would love if someone got up at a baseball game and just roared through that sucker. Amazing. I'm excited at that point, right?
Yeah, that,
I'm ready to play ball. So that's one. What else? What do you think?
Well, okay. I do think, is the melody on the table?
Oh, absolutely. Everything's on the table.
Okay.
Frog is cut open.
It's too rangy, right?
It's way too rangy.
The barrier to entry for this song should not be where it is.
Tim, that is huge.
It's crazy. Okay, let's talk about Kinsley Murray, actually.
Yes, okay. I'm here. Okay,
because, right, everybody's laughing, right? Everyone sees the video. Everyone sees her. She's all gussied up in her American flag dress, and she is just belting this thing. And she has to belt it, right? Because
there's no other way.
There's no other way to do it. Okay, and she's like making creative decisions that I love, actually. I want to talk more about the artistry of the song in a minute.
Yes, I like this. Okay.
But we get to the bridge, right? And she can't get there, right?
But who can?
But who can? No one can get there. God bless her for trying, but yes. It's like... And she picked it back up at the end. I'm happy. I was very happy for her, honestly, after seeing this video.
Okay, buddy. Look, I don't want to. There's a lot going on. But she's 8 years old.
She's
8 years old. That's the first thing.
And she's got so much moxie. She is America personified. Okay.
That's so true. She's going for it. She's not sure she's going to get there.
No.
And she doesn't. But
no. And her performance is a melting pot, buddy. She tries everything in this thing. She growls some of the big notes. She does some of that like she tries some like whistle falsetto. She tries everything.
Mariah, Aretha.
Yes. Yes.
Whitney.
No, she's got right. She's drawing from so many influences here.
The spirits of these divas are crowding her body. Clearly. Where to turn?
And to incredible effect. Like, she's got it. She's got this stadium in the palm of her hand.
She literally does.
And I guess what I want to say is to anyone out there who saw that video and thought, this dumb girl, or you know, who let her do this? I would ask you to rethink that. Just take another pass at that really quick. Does she not exemplify the American dream? She is young, scrappy, and hungry, man. And she is not throwing away her shot.
She took her shot, Tim, in a way I would not have the courage to do. I'll say it.
And okay, look, to your point, though, right? The song, I mean, her rendition, I think it took her darn near 3 minutes. That we could work on that. You know, Matt, we could and maybe we should keep sort of prescribing a fix for this tune. But I do think we basically answered it, right? It needs to be quicker. The song can't be so long. It cannot be so rangy. But we're working with what we've got, yeah?
Yeah.
We've got this long tune that is an octave and a fifth in range. It takes a lot to perform. The lyrics, everyone forgets the lyrics, Matt.
Mm.
It's like memorizing a sonnet. But as we said at the top, we've been treated to so many renditions of this tune. And, you know, some of the most beloved are these simpler versions, right? Where you just kind of sing it as you would imagine it's written on a page. Not necessarily embellishing or adding flourishes or things like that, the way Kinsley did, for instance. I would say the most patriotic thing you could do if you are tasked with singing this is making it so very your own that it is nigh unrecognizable.
Tim, that is exactly correct. And I think that, look, that's the fix. Because honestly, buddy, this country, America, the United States of, the song that represents us as a people should not be something that is just for the divas and the powerhouses to sing.
And the music majors, right?
Yes. That does not look like America to me. That looks elitist. It looks... yeah, you know, right? I'm right. I'm hitting I'm hitting a nerve here.
No, you're so right.
Because, Tim, look, what does it say on the Statue of Liberty at Ellis Island? I know you know.
You're huddled masses, Matt.
Yes. Everybody.
Everyone, get in here.
Get in here. Come give me a hug. Get in here.
Come on in. I got this song. You're going to love it.
That's right. And the way that it's set up, fully disregarding the lyrics and even the intricacies and details and theory of the tune itself, the issue we're running into is that the average American can't sing this tune.
That's just it, dude. You're going to start too high or... You're gonna forget the words or whatever.
Yep,
it's just a hard, it's a big piece to try to tackle.
It's a commitment, and it should not be. That's not what America is about. We are not about doing your best. We are about simply trying your best.
Gosh.
And and this is where it comes down to me, because I think everybody, it should, and I don't want to insult any Americans, but it should be like a nursery rhyme, right?
Yes.
Tom, Dick, and Harry should be able to just bust this out whenever. It's your country. You sing the song, buddy. You don't need to get Whitney Houston up there ripping it apart. She's great, but like, why can't you do that?
Exactly, right. You shouldn't... Our shared anthem of all things should not be inaccessible. We share it, do we not? You shouldn't...
Well, we're supposed to.
Yes. So we need to do something to, you know, if we can't rewrite the song. This is what I'm saying, Matt. Kinsley went out there at the Pacers game.
Yes.
And gave it a shot, right?
Yes.
She's eight, okay?
She's eight. That's a big point. She's eight.
She gave it a little bit of goofball energy. She started too high because she got to the B section and she couldn't get there. But doggone it, she tried. I kind of wish she had gone further. Sing a new melody.
Buddy.
Make it work for you.
Buddy.
Make the tune work for you.
I love this. This is exactly right. I'm not surprised we got here, but this is exactly right. Listen, no, because like
kick
you said.
Kick it up 40 BPM and sing any notes you want.
Swing it. Yes.
Doesn't matter. Go for it.
Look, no, I completely agree, because the issue, like we said, is that we are not going to be... This has been codified. We can't change it.
Good Lord.
We want to, but we can't.
No, look, gang, we can't even... I don't even want to. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
There's a lot of things we can't do.
We probably need an amendment or something to the Constitution.
Right.
Give me a break.
But
we're stuck with this tune.
You should We are stuck with it. And so Tim, our dream of making it a simple ditty that anybody can sing will not come to pass. However, if
grassroots
look, you there's American aspirationalism. You look up there, don't you? And you see somebody doing something, and you say, that should be me.
Oh.
That should be me. And you know what? You're right. It should be. Herbert Hoover did this to you. He's the one who signed this into law. It's his fault, just like the Great Depression. Not the point. You look up there and you say, that should be me. And that is a feeling that all Americans are born with.
This whole nation is a Hooverville, with this tune. We're stuck with it.
We are. But now, even though we can't change the song legally, I completely agree, Tim. I think make it, as you said, nigh unrecognizable.
That's
right. Make it yours. American individualism.
That's thank you.
It's
thank
not.
You.
It's about you.
I
what
think,
do you want to do? Oh, how should it sound?
I'm gonna burst. I'm so. The most American thing that any of us could do is step up to the plate, go walk right out to the pitcher's mound with your microphone, right?
Yep.
And they say, singing our nation's anthem today is Matt from Ear Buddies. And you offer up some combination of notes that no one has ever heard. Do you want to change the words? Fire away. Give it a shot. You want to swing it? Go right ahead. You want it to be one single pitch the whole time? That's interesting. Give it a try.
Go. It should be your right.
It should. And the world I dream of, Matt, is one where that's understood. That's mm-hmm. in the bone. That's mm-hmm. in the bones of the Americans. Because I don't want anyone jeering you for doing that.
No, they you should be what? Celebrating it.
Matt, we're the melting pot. We're the melting pot.
Everyone would naturally sing this differently. Some
that's
better,
right.
some worse. But what does that matter? It's America. It should be your song.
That's the fix. We just all have to be ourselves.
Yes. I it's a tough row to hoe. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a city on a hill for me right now.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, wouldn't you, Tim, that the people who claim to love our anthem and our flag and our country the most,
yeah.
I feel like they would have the hardest time with this.
Well, maybe, yeah.
And yet, if we are truly sticking mm-hmm. to our American values,
yes,
they should yes. all. They should all say, "You go crazy up there, little guy," right?
Just
rip it, go nuts,
rip into this tune. Let the spirit of America move you
in
when you
whatever
sing this
way
thing.
It might. Yes, yes, Tim. This, buddy, you and I have spent.
Oh, buddy.
Over 100 episodes, essentially trying to heal the soul of America if you look at it writ large. Right? That's not
yeah,
untrue.
No, you're right. You're
it's
right.
It's our desperate dream, and we cling to it, and we talk about it constantly. This would help. It would be a delight.
Oh,
it would be
heavens,
it
yes.
would be empowering.
Right, and I was thinking about, I mean, you know, look, Kinsley is who inspired this episode, mm-hmm. right? You know. And I was reflecting, like, why did I enjoy her performance so much? Is it the moxie? Yeah, that was a big part of it for
mm-hmm,
sure.
For sure.
Right? The guts, the go out and do it spirit that she had. Yes.
The unself-consciousness.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The stick-to-itiveness, the sheer, dare I say, masculine will. Kinsley, you've got that in spades, baby girl.
She's got it. I mean, yes, she might listen to Ear Buddies the way she did that.
That sounded like someone, like a member of the army right there. It
maybe
did.
That's what I loved so much. But I think it was her willingness to just try something.
Yes.
Just try something. If you want to hear, you know, the King's English version of this song. You can find it everywhere.
Anywhere.
Throw a rock and you'll hit it. You found it. It's there. It's everywhere waiting for you. You can find divas and you can find pop stars and Josh Groban types.
Mm-hmm.
You can find anyone doing this tune.
Yep.
And doing it well. But we are not all divas. We are not. I am not Josh Groban. We should aspire to be ourselves.
That's right, Tim. That's absolutely
because
true.
Because we are just as much America as Whitney Houston and Beyonce
mm-hmm.
and Kinsley and anyone else.
That's right.
That's this is our nation, too. We fixed it. Okay.
Well, we had a really good idea to fix it. And now if enough members of our great army can take this to heart,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, Tim, I'm tempted to say, you know, if you know any singers who are going to be trying this out, no, you don't need to be a singer. You no. do it.
Yes.
You
hey,
do it.
Call up your local summer baseball league in your town and say, are you looking for national anthem singers? I would love to volunteer.
Man.
Get a friend to film it, send it, and let her rip. Everybody, do your thing. Do your thing. Do that's, your thing.
That's right, because Tim...
And do it.
Tim, keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Does she not? She cries that with... Keep your storied pomp. That is not what this is about here. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched... refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Yearning to sing free.
Wow. Wow.
That's
I'm
it.
I'm moved.
Ear buddies. We'll continue in a moment. This episode of Ear Buddies is brought to you by the Pentagon. You know, Matt, the Pentagon, right?
Oh, I'm familiar. I'm surprised that they chose us, but I'm thrilled, of course, as an American. I'm honored. What's going on, Tim?
They've got some big news to get out, right? They need to spread the word far and wide. They dropped a new report, Matt. 45 pages, in fact. And it's entitled, The Department of Defense Report on the Historical Record of U.S. Government Involvement with Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, or UAP. That's a fancy American way, Matt, of saying aliens.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I am a moth to a flame when I get a little news alert on my phone that says, I glance at it and I see the words Pentagon, UFOs. I gotta know more.
Of course, so, you're like Tom DeLonge.
I am. I jumped right in there. And the new congressionally mandated Pentagon report finds no evidence that the government was covering up knowledge of extraterrestrial technology and said there was no evidence that any UFO sightings represented alien visitation to Earth.
Okay, well, that settles that.
That's it. That's it. Done and dusted, gang. It's they were not aliens.
Okay.
None
Good.
Of it.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Now, Matt, okay, listen. You
Let's
know.
Let's get real.
Okay, look. Am I supposed to take this at face value?
A Pentagon report said that there's no credible evidence. Okay, then a Pentagon report. There are Pentagon reports about the Kennedy assassination and about MK Ultra.
Sure.
So,
and we're still talking about those things, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm honestly, to be frank here, to be Francis Scott Key with you,
to
buddy.
Be Francis Scott Key.
I am now more inclined to believe that there are UFOs and that there have been cover-ups and that they walk among us.
Matt, I guess let's just do. Let's just imagine we have a pool of sponsors, right, begging to be on the show.
Sure.
And the reason I plucked this one out of the pool, Matt, is honestly, truly, I would like to ask you, what's your take? Get real with me, Matt. Matt to Tim. Aliens? Yes or no?
Ooh. We have never discussed this.
I don't think we have
in our
buddies,
whole
have
life,
we?
And our opinions of each other could change in a heartbeat. Tim,
aliens, yes
look,
or no?
I'm gonna say,
and okay, here, let's clarify: aliens walking among us on Earth.
Oh, I think it's less likely that they're walking among us, but they're probably out there. You know, it's sure. Great, it's a big universe.
Great big, so much out there, right? What the truth is out there. I don't know.
That's really sure. That's great.
But it's but really, I'm gonna have to agree with you, buddy. I think if you know if you're a stats guy,
right? Yes.
Like if you're into stats in any way, I think you kind of have to cede this one to the aliens.
I think so.
They must be out there. Now, you're right. It is a bigger question. Have they visited us?
Right. Matt? Do they walk among us?
Yeah. We pose that to you, too, but have they visited? Let's just say a flyby. Anything like that? What was that weird thing flying by a while ago that they saw? And they said, well, that's not shaped like anything natural in the universe. You remember that?
Yeah, I know. I do remember. I think, Tim, here's where I am.
Here.
If there were suddenly credible photographic video evidence that an alien did a flyby, I would say, yep, that makes sense. I'd be like, yep, I'm on board.
Sure.
I would not clutch my pearls, nor would I spend a lot of time trying to convince myself that that wasn't true. I'm open to the possibility for sure.
Absolutely. Would you panic? Would you be freaked at all, or would you be like, this is fine?
I would honestly be like, this is fine. Like, I mean,
I gotta say, buddy, I am totally with you.
Are you? This is great.
I think it would be A-okay.
Thank God we agree.
I just am not.
Yeah,
I don't.
Talk to me. Tell me, where are you with this?
Here's where I sit, buddy. I think if some sort of alien civilization, far flung in the universe, reached the point where they had the ability, let alone the interest, but the ability to travel the stars, look for others, give me a break. You think they're out here for conquest? I doubt it. I think they're looking for pals. What would you do, Matt, if you were an enlightened, highly advanced society?
I mean,
you'd probably go looking for pals.
I would say, what else is going on, you know?
Anyone else out here? What's up?
Yes, absolutely. Knocking on a couple doors, shining a few flashlights into outer space. Who's out there? What are you guys doing?
Hey, I'm new around here. What do you guys think? What's fun on Earth, you know?
Buddy, it's because you and I, we have a undying thirst for knowledge. We're curious, right?
We are.
And,
right.
And so I think that for us is like, yeah, I mean, what else would you do? I'd check out the neighborhood for sure.
I would genuinely be shocked if I got vaporized by an alien.
I know. I mean, surely there can't be much point. Maybe unless it's for sport or something, I suppose. But
sure, that's possible. Right. Maybe it's an act of love in there, right? Who
I was going to say, we don't know. It's hard to say.
That's right. We are we're sort of earth-no-centricizing.
Yeah, absolutely, we really are. Yes.
You know, what kind of games do they play? Maybe it is Planet Destroy. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, right. Not their fault.
No, that's right. I want to respect their culture.
Yeah, for
Go
sure.
Go ahead, vaporize me. I understand is what I'm saying. It's okay. It's not your fault. I'm not upset with you personally. Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page as this.
Well, me too.
And I am also glad to say that you and I are both on the same page about this Pentagon report.
Yeah.
Well, come
Keep
on.
It. Keep it. Come
Give
on.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Show us the aliens.
We know you got them. You clearly
we know
have
you
them.
Got hard drives full of pics.
You just
Show
told
us the
us,
pics.
You just told us there was no evidence of a cover-up, so where are they?
Where are they? We'd like to see them. And then Matt, listen, not to... I know we've been given a lot of advice, sort of national advice on this episode, but if I could just give a note to the Pentagon, the call center... you could drastically reduce staff and cut budgets if you just showed us the aliens.
Boy, because, that's got to be
come
true,
on,
huh?
Think yeah. about all they did with this report is get people like us riled up saying, well, of course there are aliens. Like, obviously, then. I mean, whatever they say, I believe the opposite. We're not alone. I bet the switchboard is lighting up like crazy tonight.
Tim, I mean, you nailed it. If they simply were to say, here they are.
Here you go, guys.
Like, check this out. Yep, you were right all along. Then
1960, yeah, it happened.
Okay, yes, here you go. Roswell, the whole situation, you were right.
You were right. You were all right.
Yep, yes. Sorry, but, you know, national security, everything's fine now.
Yes.
Then I think
it's under control.
The switchboard operators could get a decent night's sleep for sure.
That's right. All the major generals out there who are constantly having to deal with this.
And living under that lie, too, which can't be healthy.
That's got to hurt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Bad for the soul.
Yeah.
So a little free advice from your buddies to the Pentagon here today, too.
Man, we could run this country, Tim. You and
dude,
me.
Dude, one episode a week.
We
drop
got
a few, drop a few mandates, and off we go.
Easy. Easy.
This country is ticking. It's just... It is a Swiss watch. It's an American watch. American made. Bud Light Chevrolet. Come on. We got this taken care of. It's the Pentagon. Welcome back to Ear Buddies. And welcome to an extended little show and tell thing. We're doing one of those, Matt, it's the Olympics, and we're giving out the medals, you and I. Bronze, silver, and gold. And we're talking about anthems of other nations. What are the good ones out there?
Yeah, who did it? Who did it best?
That's right. We got, I think, like 200-ish of these. Did you listen to every one of them?
I listened
to... Don't answer that.
A lot.
Okay, me too. Me too. It's a lot. It's a lot to listen to. It's like 200 songs. Are you serious? Like, we've got things to do. But we did a lot, and we came away with some opinions. And so we are going to offer... Our 3, 2, 1 rankings of other nations' anthems. Matt, would you kick us off with number 3?
My bronze medal, Tim, goes to the Kenyan national anthem.
Okay, rousing choice, Matt. For number 3.
Thank you. So I there's so much to think about with a national anthem. What are we looking for? Are we tune, vibe,
yeah,
energy, spirit, you know? Mm-hmm. So with this one, I'm highlighting specifically I'm going to say the vibe. This is like, it's one of the few national anthems that I have heard in basically a minor key.
Ah.
The melody is not much to write home about, but I am just, it's a bold, bold choice for the people of Kenya to come with something that could be mistaken for, like, sinister.
Sure.
If you listen to it through the wrong ears. And I commend them for that. I think it's, on the world stage at the Olympics...
That's what you're going to play? That's the vibe you're
going
to lay down?
Yeah, it's like, right. Oh, boy. You know? I just... Brave and compelling to me.
Very good. And actually, I would add that it's one of the few anthems that I've heard that doesn't feel like a march.
Yes, that's... I'm going
like
to get to
actually,
that, pal. But
it
yes.
actually seems like it has some, like... Kenyan DNA.
Yes.
In it.
Yeah. No. Not, very. Very much
know,
so.
In the harmony and even the melody there.
Yeah. That's cool. Because it was adapted from. I mean, I think a couple like Kenyan tunes. Mm. It kind of feels like. I don't know. Yeah, like you said, the DNA of that country seems much more in their national anthem than, for example, the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes. Okay. And, buddy. Go figure. My number 3 shares that quality. We're talking about India.
Mm. Big fan.
You can hear in the performance that there are some of those like little semitone scoops that might almost be like quarter tony.
It's a little bit microtonal, which is great for India, you know.
Totally. And so many national anthems, Matt, are just like products of European nationalism and colonialism. And so they all sound like a John Philip Sousa march, like even if you are in the middle of South America or Africa.
Yes, I discovered that through my research.
Yeah, sort of jarring, sort of confusing. So good on India as an example.
Yes, great choice.
Yes, to say like our national anthem actually sounds like maybe it belongs in India.
Mm-hmm. Which I would say is a big thing to think about if you're going to be writing a national anthem. Jaya hai,
Jaya hai. Matt, your number two, please.
My silver medal, Tim. I hope you will allow this because it is unofficial.
Ooh, I'll take it. It's fine.
Did you know, Tim, that Scotland does not have a national anthem?
No, I did not know that.
So they just don't. They just don't care, which I really respect. They say, we've got other stuff going on. We're not going to commission some guy to write us a national anthem right now. We're busy. The time is
past.
Tied
up.
You know, it's like too late. Yeah, which I love. However, they have two or three unofficial national anthems. One is called the Flower of Scotland, but the second most favorite, which used to be the one that was representing Scotland at, you know, just internationally,
okay,
is called Scotland the Brave.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Now, Tim... As far as clarity of purpose and expression,
yeah,
you hear this and you think, well, that's Scotland.
You sure do.
Bang on the money, guys. Incredible, incredible. And what I love about, I mean, so most versions, of course, have the bagpipes just blasting.
Yes.
Which is great. It's a Scottish tune.
You can hear it a county away, yep.
That's right, my friend. But what I love about it, too, is like the melody, and like this is true of many national anthems. You know, people just sort of wrote them throughout history together and not knowing they were contributing to the national anthem.
Yes.
No one really knows where this one came from because it's a folk tune, which you can hear... Like the bones of that. That's a Scottish folk tune, man. And I mean I'm inclined to love a Scottish folk tune anyway, but it's hooky, it's catchy, it's memorable, it's not a march. Well,
you could play it and I would march anywhere you asked me to.
I mean, right. I think it's fabulous and I'm so proud of the people of Scotland for saying, we don't have a national anthem, but we do like this song.
Yeah, we don't have one, but if we did,
yes.
it would crush you.
Right. Yes. Yeah, no, exactly.
Excellent. Very, very good. My silver medalist, Matt, and I want to, I think I said it earlier, but let me just say again, we're separating the art from the artist here. Right? We're talking tunes, not talking about anything else.
Did you pick Russia?
I did pick the Soviet Union. Look, I've got nothing good to say about the USSR here, right? But this tune, Matt, the melody, that melody,
I know,
sung by 200 men.
That's, it is. Tim, you know, I'll say as usual, Tim and I don't know what the other one is picking here. Mm. I did come close to picking that one. Like,
it is a powerful tune. It's just thundering. I mean, you know, we were talking about, like, nationalism, right? Like, the point of these tunes is to inspire the troops, ultimately.
Yes, to stir the heart, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, fervor.
Exactly. And I have got to imagine that if Russia is your homeland, you feel immense power when you hear these.
Well, buddy, and
when
see,
you hear those notes,
that's the thing.
They're like, remarkable.
With that tune, that's another really, really solid pairing of country and tune, because it is massive, it is powerful, it is dignified, it is stately, it is intimidating, it's imposing, mm-hmm. it's thousands of men standing still in their fur caps.
Frightening you.
And it's cold.
Oh, it's cold, Matt. It's a very cold tune.
It's cold,
yes.
Man.
Fur caps, you're right. It is. Oh, you do need to wear a heavy coat to listen to that.
But it's so good.
It's a remarkable tune. And look, if Russia weren't Russia, maybe it would be my number one. But it's it rips.
Excellent. Beautiful choice.
Your gold medal, please.
Tim, I'm concerned that you may have picked this one, but this, to me, is the granddaddy of all. It is what all national anthems, at least in the Western world,
yes,
I would hope, are embarrassed by and envious of.
Yes.
It is called La Marseillaise, and it is the French national anthem.
Matt, of course that's my gold medal, too. Of course it is.
We did it again, all right.
Of course we did.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, Matt, I'm green with envy. I'm blue, white, and red with envy. I just can't imagine having a more rip-roaring, revolution-inspiring tune representing me.
It makes me proud to be one quarter French or whatever I am.
Sure.
Tim, I know you do know this, but I was excited about picking this one after I heard your little commentary about the marches and stuff, because this is the first example of the European march style, right? This is sort of how we now, like that song just sounds like a national anthem. I mean,
absolutely.
And they nailed it. And I just,
man, may I read the lyrics to
please,
you in English?
Please, please.
Okay, because what a tune to have as your national anthem. I mean, in fact, it was banned for a little while. Do you know this?
Yes. Yeah, I read that.
It was too revolutionary.
It's yes
for the French government to endorse.
That's right.
And then eventually they said, that. Okay,
love
you're right.
That.
This is the one. It has to be. Arise, children of the fatherland. Our day of glory has arrived. Against us, the bloody flag of tyranny is raised. The bloody flag is raised. Do you hear in the countryside? Another question, Matt. Do you hear in the countryside the roar of those ferocious soldiers? They're coming right into your arms to cut the throats of your sons, your comrades.
Ugh.
To arms, citizens. Form your battalions. Let's march. Let's march, that their impure blood should wash our fields.
I have actual full-body chills, Tim. And that wasn't even in the original French.
That's the French national anthem, gang.
That's
what they're thinking about every time
they're
singing.
That's right. And we, look, not to bring it back, I'm sorry, but we are simply saying, can you still see the flag?
Is that flag still up there?
It can
is?
You see
okay.
it?
Oh,
it's
okay,
so far
great.
Away,
thank
but
you.
It is still up there, yeah.
Hey,
okay.
Help me out. Grab your binoculars.
Oh, man. The French, there's
the
good
French.
And bad, but man, they know how to do this exact thing. Nobody is better. They are constantly revolting. They can't go a couple days without trashing an embassy or setting a car on fire. It is fabulous. That is the spirit. But Tim, like you said, that's what they're thinking when they sing this. That's what they're thinking all the time. And I think that is the only way to live. Let the blood of our enemies wash our fields.
Good gravy, dude.
It's an actual call to arms. Let us march, they say.
It's a call to arms.
Let's do something.
Buddy, listen, if every nation state on this earth had a call to arms as their national anthem, we wouldn't be around anymore.
We would wipe this whole place out. It would all be gone.
I mean, in a way, like, thank goodness. Let's all dial it back a hair. But give this to France. Like, of course they're the gold medalists here.
And
the tune itself, Matt. I mean, we've already talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man.
But the tune absolutely screams. It's so good.
It is so good.
I'd like to hear Kinsley sing that tune.
She would start the third wave of the revolution, let me tell you.
Kinsley Murray, if you're out there, start taking French diction lessons.
Or don't. I mean,
you know what? That's right. Just
get in there.
Trot it out tomorrow. See what happens. Change the world.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling so many emotions. Wow.
I am going to go to bed. Wow. That was too much. I got to go. I need some sleep. Talk to you later, buddy.